I'd like to say that I consider myself extremely fortunate to be on the same team with Sonny, that has such a passion about songs and singing, and that he holds nothing back, expense-wise, time-wise, otherwise. Has his heart in it. It shows. And I would like, I think you would also like the opportunity to express to him how much we appreciate him sharing these kind of things with us. By the way, I like seeing our young people here. I missed the last couple of Sunday mornings, looked over here, and it was kind of empty right here. So I'm glad to see you back. Missed you being there. I know there's been lots of things going on in your lives, and a lot of you have been out of town, but I'm glad to see you back there. Also, I'm a little surprised. I never have been in a congregation where for a full week the clock didn't get set properly. And it's usually one of the deacons that takes care of it, and he runs it up about 10 minutes faster than it's supposed to be. But here I kind of expected maybe it might be one of the elders that might run it up. I didn't know for sure, but anyway, I suspect by next week it'll probably be corrected. The song, I was familiar with all of those songs. One of them that I didn't know that she wrote was To the Work. Yeah, and there are lots of songs, all of us, I suppose, who've been in the church for some period of time have certain songs that evoke memories. And one of them, this To the Work, when I was a kid, one of the congregations that my dad began, there was a fine Christian man who had lots of desire and enthusiasm, but maybe lacked a little bit in ability. But, you know, you couldn't be choosy when there were six men in the congregation, and if somebody's willing to lead singing, then he got the job. And every single time he got up, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time he got up, he led that song To the Work. And he always started it the same way. It was just like you were cranking up something. It would say, To the Work, To the Work. You know? I mean, it felt like you were really working. You were really getting that thing going. Had to push it over the hill, you know, to get it started. And I can still see him and hear him lead that song. That was just his song. We here at Woodland Oaks are growing rapidly. You know that. For the last 2 years, we've had more than 100 people each year place membership. That's a good thing, bad thing. To be real honest with you, I'm sorry that there are individuals who feel that they have to leave a place where they've been for 20 or 30 years. It makes me sad that they feel like they've fought uphill and they fought battles, some of you have, for a long time, and then you start looking for a place where you're tired of fighting and you want to be at peace, and you want to be in a place where people teach and practice and preach God's word. And I'm glad to be a place where you feel like you can come. That's the good side. The bad side is, the downside, at least as far as I'm concerned, is that there are those who have put your life into a work, into a family for 20, 30 plus years, and you feel like that it's time for you to leave. And the Lord is blessing us with an incredible amount of talent. I mean, it's just pouring in all over the top of us. I want to encourage you again, if you have not done so, to give some thought to things, to ministries that you feel like will help us to be more productive, because we're not the same congregation we were 2 years ago. And there are needs that we need to not ignore. And so I hope that you will seriously consider taking one of those cards, giving some thought to some things that you feel like can be done to make us a more effective congregation. I knew a man pretty well who was a jet engine mechanic in the military, and when he got out of the military, he had this entrepreneur idea of taking used jet engines and reworking them and putting a big shroud around them, and he would send them to and sell them to cities, and they were generators, and he made generators out of them. And he had a contract where he was getting all these jet engines, and there, you might surprise you know how many jet engines there are laying around that nobody's going to do anything with, and he could buy them really cheaply and overhaul them and put this really nice shroud over them and sell them, particularly up in Alaska and different places, you know, where they didn't have electricity readily available. And he over a period of about 3 years, he really, this thing was just, it had exploded on him. And he bought a private jet and had somebody, and he was going to India, and he was going all over the world, everywhere, selling these things and taking orders. And, I mean, making millions of dollars just, you know, from rags to riches story in a matter of a couple of years. And he just couldn't keep up with all the orders. And, in fact, that became his downfall. Because as all of this came about, he was not putting the proper people, the proper legs under this thing. And so the day come where it just folded up around him and he totally lost it. And it wasn't because of a lack of demand. I mean, the demand far, far exceeded his ability to supply, and he wasn't taking care of things at home. And so what I'm saying is, folks, let's make sure that we take care of things at home. Let's make sure that we put the proper legs under this, because the Lord is blessing us incredibly, and it would be a really, really sad thing were we not to put the proper ministries in place, because it's really easy, as that front door swings open, it's really easy for that back door to swing open too. And lots of folks that you lose, lots of folks, and I think that would be worse than it never happening. And so I want you to be praying about that. I'll be praying about that. And let's think of things that we can do. I mean, I really do believe that if you get a person who loves the Lord and wants to serve the Lord, if they don't have a meaningful way to serve, then they're not going to stay around too long. We need to be able to serve. And we need to be able to serve in a way that is meaningful to the life of the body and feel like that we're connected to the Lord. And so it is in that light that I would like to just remind us of a few things tonight. In Luke chapter 15, the Lord illustrated the love that he has for those who have strayed. And you're very familiar with the three stories: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost boy. And when you put the umbrella over that and say, what are these three stories telling? They're telling about God's love that he has for one who has been lost, one who was a part of him and now no longer is. And how that the shepherd, in case of the sheep, would go out and he would leave the 99 and go out and search for that one. And I want to have, and I want you to have, that same compulsion that the Lord feels for people. It's sometimes easy when things are moving rapidly to get lost in the bulk of things, in the masses, in so many things happening, and we let people, the only thing that's really important, we let people slide. And we look around and somebody has not been here for some period of time, and we give it a thought, but we don't do anything about following up on it. And I'd like to encourage us to think of ways that we can engage every member, every person who wants to be involved will have the opportunity to be involved in a work. And for those who are weak and those who have been trapped in sin, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, he says, brethren, if a brother is trapped in some sin, you who are spiritual, restore him gently. And the word for restore is the same word that's used to set a broken bone. Think about that. And he says, do that gently. And then he gives a little warning. He says, be careful when, as you're in the process of doing this, because if you're not careful, you'll be tempted also in this sin that he's trapped in. So we have this balance here. But the underlying principle is that we care enough to go. That we care enough whenever someone is not here, that we contact that person and we, at the very least, let them know that they were missed. That we care that they weren't there. There are any number, I suppose, of reasons why someone returns to the world, and one of them is because of some of our attitudes. Not that we say, I don't want you here, but that by our actions, we may be saying, it doesn't matter if you're here or not. And it does matter to the Lord. James writes to the churches in the provinces, as it were, and he warns them about favoritism. And by way of application, I would ask you, as I ask myself, who are the last three people that you invited into your home that were Christians to encourage them? And add on top of that, who are the last three people that you went to visit because you knew that they were hurting and you went to encourage them? How far do you have to go back to fill either one of those three? And I know we live in fast-paced times, and I know that your schedule is incredibly busy. And it may be even truer right here in this place where we live, because people just don't expect too much of somebody opening their home up anymore. But we need to break that mold. We need to be people who care about one another, who fellowship with one another, truly fellowship with one another. You can't really get to be very close to somebody here in this building if that's the only time that we see one another. You have to be together in other settings. And so we as Christians need to have other settings. It can be, I mean, you come up with the ministry. You think about it. Come up with ways that we can do that. And people who would like to reach out to other people, probably the biggest need that we could meet to attract people to the gospel is to meet the need of loneliness in the middle of all of these people here, in the middle of the woodlands. I can promise you that one of the problems is loneliness. People just cloister themselves in our houses. And I'm convinced that there are few things that please the Lord more than a family that contains a wide variety of people of ethnicity and education and age and social status. There's a problem, and there has been a movement within our brotherhood for churches that were really large and in some cases associated with a particular movement, that it's all young people in the church. You can go in those assemblies and there are no older people. There's something really, really wrong with that, folks. There's something really wrong with that. I don't care if it's the fastest growing thing in the world. There is something wrong with that. God intended for His church to be a family. And that means that there are different age groups, there are different people, and everybody has their place, and everyone loves one another. Another reason that some are lost is maybe because we haven't been preaching and teaching basic fundamental things as a whole like we should. I mean, really basic fundamental principles and things like, you know, whenever you've heard, everybody's heard, when you get married, you don't just marry that person, you marry their family. Well, when you become a Christian, there's a family that comes with that. And it's not just you isolated. And that family is a great thing. And I've heard a number of you say recently from different perspectives that you have had people who've come and said, you know, I see that you have a support group. And particularly some of these men and women that have lost their jobs recently, been searching for jobs, they've had some of their coworkers come up to them and say, you know what, you've got a support group that I don't have. because they would talk to them about their church family, praying about it and so forth. And in one instance particularly, the person said, you know, I'm not really very evangelistic, but I did think to say, well, you can have that support group also. You know, let me tell you about that. And I invited them to come to church. And maybe due to lack of teaching, maybe us not really talking about some things that we really need to talk about that are basic, fundamental things, it's really possible to grow up and not know basic, fundamental, essential things and grow up in the church today, maybe more than it has been. Another thing, just real quickly, is, and this is a really a personal thing with me that I'm really convicted about, I believe that many people became Christians and they never truly repented of their lifestyle. And another way to say that is they never truly were converted. And I believe to truly be converted, you have to repent. You have to truly repent. And in order to repent, you have to know how hopeless your situation is. And that's one reason that you hear a lot from me from Romans 1:18 to 3:20. Because I believe that sometimes we come to the Lord and people become a Christian standing straight up and feeling like, you know, I'm adding this to my life. It's a good thing to do. And, you know, there's a family that comes along with this and a support group that comes with this. And they never truly repented. And so we need to make sure that a person is taught and taught that the response, the very basic fundamental principle of being a Christian is that we're lost without hope and we're sinners and we must repent of the life that we've been living and change our life. Lots of folks come into the church, quote, and I put quotes around that, with no real expectation of changing their life. And we end up with lots of difficulties in the church. Another reason that some are lost is because of personal problems. And this one's a little harder for me to comprehend because I grew up being taught that when you really had problems in your life, that you have someone that you can share those problems with and you can pray with one another. And I guess I've always had my closest friends have been people in the church. And so it's hard for me to understand that when somebody encounters a problem in your life, that you get discouraged and quit coming to church. I really don't understand that. But I know that it happens because I see it happen over and over and over again. Maybe people get mad at God because they got problems. I don't know. I don't really completely understand that. But I see lots of people that whenever there are problems in your life, then people quit coming to church. Do you not need God's help when you have problems in your life? Do you think? And I've heard people say, when I get things straightened out, I'll be back to church. Well, if you can straighten it out without coming to church, why in the world you want to come back? Really? If you can get your life straightened up without Jesus, then you don't need Him. And I would suggest to you that we really can't get our life straightened up without Jesus. And then there's, just for some, there's willful disobedience. We just know what's right, but there's something that's attractive out there, and we just drift away. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, talks about people like that when it says it's impossible for those who have tasted the good word of God, and it gives a list of several things that indicate that this person has fully participated in Christ and known the blessings of being a Christian. He said it's impossible if they fall away to renew them again unto repentance. The problem is not that God won't forgive you. The problem is they won't come back. They won't repent. Because they say, hey, I've tried this Christianity business. It's not for me. I like what the world has to offer better than I like what God has to offer. Well, for that person who's truly that way, and I can't read anybody's heart and know when somebody is that way, but when someone truly gets to that point that they turn their back on the Lord, then we get to the point that we lose the fear of consequences in our life. And we're just going to live the way that we want to live. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort those who are weak, support the weak, and be patient to all men. Let's accept our responsibility. It's really important for us here that we can be proactive in this thing, because I'm proud to say that the back door is not swinging really hard right now. But I will predict to you that if we do not have meaningful places for people to serve, that that will happen. I hope I'm wrong, but I'll make that prediction. I'm not a prophet, and I can certainly be wrong, but I'll make that prediction to you. And so we have the opportunity right here. The Lord has blessed us incredibly, and He just keeps on pouring out blessing on top of blessing on top of blessing on us. And I'm proud and thrilled to be a part of this family. And I'm not only proud to be on the same team as Sonny, but everyone else, those who love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. It's a great place to be. There's no other place at this point in my life that I'd rather be than right here. And I hope you feel that same way. The Lord is blessing you, and He's blessing me. And we owe a responsibility to one another. And so let's pray about this, think about this, put some time and thought and prayer into the ministries that we need in this congregation. And I hope that you'll take this seriously and that you'll pick up one of those forms on your way out, and you'll give it some prayer and thought and think of things that we can do to become more effective. If you're here tonight and you're not a part of God's family, why in the world would you leave without being a Christian? What have you got to gain? Is your life better? And if as a Christian you've not lived for the Lord, you've not really been giving your whole heart to Him, now's the time for you to rededicate your life to Him. Let's stand and sing.